B-Pod Studios.
Welcome in, everybody. Good morning. I said it. I meant it. The Phillies heard it. Must-win situation yesterday. It was a must-win.
Move! Get out the way.
Get out the way,
Get
Cubs.
Out the way. Get out the way,
Cubs.
Get out the way, Cubs.
There we go. There you go. Come on, man.
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh.
Oh, is that Andrew McCutchen? Is that? I can't tell. Because he said that yesterday. How about that?
Yes.
Now, I'll say this. I had a little DVR action on the game last night, right? I had a charity event, and the scores are popping up. And our friend Mike Sielski texted me at 8 o'clock. He called us at 8 o'clock yesterday. Phillies go up, I believe it was 5-0 at the time, and Mike texted me. And he goes, I told you to relax about the Phils. And I was like, oh, Mike Sielski, you're a godsend. Absolutely. Yeah, you're wonderful. And then, the updates start happening on my phone, and I'm looking at my phone, and I'm
goodness
going,
gracious.
I'm not comfortable anymore. And all the screaming and yelling from Pat Neshek, I take it all back. I'm sorry. I don't mean any of it. Yesterday could not stop the bleeding with this team. But nonetheless, they hold on. They get the win over the Cubs and a book ending the four-game series with a win, and that's fine. I'll take it. Aaron Nola, not his greatest, but far from his worst. I just wanted to see them win yesterday because they were up against such a good team. I knew going forward, facing the Brewers, facing the Cardinals at home for a three-game series, and then going to face the L.A. Dodgers, this is the hardest stretch, and we've said this many times before. Bob, Jamie, you've gotten into it. The hardest stretch that the Phillies possibly could have throughout the entire season. And I don't want them starting out losing a four-game set, only maybe being able to win one game against the Chicago Cubs. But what a win. Yesterday, they jump out to a 2-0 lead, Trey. Then in the second inning, they get a diving stop from Gene Segura. He's able to make some things happen there. You got a pickoff move from Aaron Nola. Reese Hoskins then in the next inning, in the third inning, gets a little RBI action with a sac fly. It was good to see him get another RBI. Then in the fourth inning, JT Realmuto hits a bomb on the Waveland Avenue. Segura steps up, hits a 2-run home run. Next thing you know, Phillies are up 7-0.
Yeah.
Dubel Herrera, that RBI ground out. Still ground out nonetheless, but hey, I'll take the RBI. Did Sean Rodriguez, who was it on third base with Sean Rodriguez?
Yeah.
Making the diving, trying to stop, trying to tag him out?
Yeah.
Was he out? Diving play on the third base?
Was he out?
What?
No.
What happened there?
I didn't think so.
No, he meant the foot was on the bag before.
Yeah, I think they got lucky. Yeah.
Why didn't he just tag the bag?
Because he had a brain fart.
Again. This team is so stupid.
Well, you don't practice that stuff. You don't practice it.
I hear you.
Situational.
Yeah, I mean, really, I know you're like, oh, hey, you've been doing this all your life.
No, I hear you.
You don't go over it. So that's like when any football player, we've been doing this. We do the same thing over and over, but because we have the time to do it. But with baseball, you know, you just expect for the players to just like, oh, they're going to go and react.
Well, I would say this. Of all players ever, baseball players are the least coachable players.
Why?
I don't know.
They should be. I mean, but it's just that you don't have time to coach them.
There's no practice during the season.
Yeah. Right?
But a lot of guys that will commit to it, and I know I'll throw out the cliche name like Chase Utley. Chase Utley will watch hours of tape and study where a pitcher's beating him or what pitch is beating him, and he'll break that down and he'll approach it differently each time he's at the plate or when he was at the plate. He was that type of player. I would say he's maybe 20% of Major League Baseball?
Uh-huh.
20%. 80% are just like, I'll figure it out.
But it's just like, because sometimes you have to put the players in that particular situation. And that's the whole thing about being able to practice, is putting them in that particular situation so that now when it happens, now you can just react. It's second nature. It's not sitting there like, what should I do?
Sean Rodriguez, what did we say? Was he 33 years old?
30, yeah. 34
years old?
He's been
around for a little while.
Yeah.
He's played a lot of baseball in his time.
I know,
first
but
second,
you
if I get a ground ball here, maybe I'll just go to the closest bag, which is mine, third. Okay, boom.
All right.
Brilliant. Okay. See? Bob, how many years in the Major League Baseball did you spend?
None. But there was a Bob Cooney that pitched a third of an inning in Major League Baseball back in the 20s, I believe.
Third of it. Oh,
and he didn't even extend his glove. It was kind of, you know, like a...
The alligator on him.
Yeah. He didn't want
to... He was afraid of contact.
Yeah, he didn't want to commit.
Dare I say it, Todd Pastor.
You got to leave it all. He got to hang it all in now. You got to put it all...
He Ricky Waters it.
Dare I say it. But, and then, our boy, Pat Neshek, the Shaq.
Yeah.
Comes into a game. And let's make some souvenirs, folks. Thanks for coming out to the friendly confines. They're about to get friendlier. Neshek, 2-run home run to Kyle Schwarber. And then that makes it 8-5. Then Anthony Rizzo. Home run! 8-6. Next thing you know, Hector Neris able to help you out after McCutcheon got you another RBI or so. And Neris ends up getting the save.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
You breezed over the Neshek thing just a little too quick.
Oh, did I?
I mean, you know. I mean, he calls in, you know. Now, this is a day he had to do. We went over the numbers.
Yes.
So, yeah, one day.
Uh-huh.
11 pitches.
In the bullpen.
In the bullpen, where he warmed up.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. And then he made that count. So, he was like, hey, don't call me again. You know, so we were in a stretch, all right?
Lose my number.
All right, so we get called in, and it's kind of like, you know, you had your little beef, you know, where it's like, hey, man, you know what? I was ready.
Chief beef?
Yeah, not chief beef on this one. We can't go chief beef. So he is called in, and, you know, we're like, all right, hey, you want me. Mm. Oh, now, oh, okay, so I'm ready now. Well, here, this is what I'm going to do. Pow! Oh, no, that's another one out the park. That one went out the park. Pow! Damn, that was another one.
You think all these home runs were out of spite?
Were they spiteful?
Well,
would a pitcher do that?
Oh, I wouldn't put... Well, Neshek would... No, I just like the idea of him deleting the bullpen phone number from his phone and just be like, new phone, who dis?
Yeah.
And be like, I guess I'll come in. To give up bombs!
Yeah.
Because none of those were eke out or eke over the fence home runs. They were blasted.
Yeah.
They were blasted. I don't know. Will we put it past the Shaq to say, you want to throw me under the bus there, Gabe the Babe? Pairs, how about this? Make it interesting for you.
He's like one of the few guys I wouldn't.
So you wouldn't put that past him?
No, I'm not putting it past him.
Oh, wow.
Now I'm going to go say he's... I'm going to go ahead and say he did that just to prove a point.
Wow.
He was up. They were up so much that he figured,
two home runs.
I can make a point here.
Yeah.
No worries.
Yeah, two home runs. Hey, go ahead.
But my man, JT Realmuto, Andrew McCutcheon, Bryce Harper, and Aaron Nola, I swear, they must have heard us talking yesterday. Must-win situation. They must have felt the same way. And they go out and they're like, hey, we got you, bro.
In spite of their manager.
They go out there and they win the game. And Pat Neshek was like, well, hold on, we're at least going to make it interesting. But still, nonetheless, Hector Neris comes out. Neris, I'll never get used to saying that. Hector Neris comes out. He gets the save. And the man you're trying to mock, Bob Cooney, and ridicule and speak
ridicule,
about
yes,
in jest is Gabe Kapler, who I believe, ladies and gentlemen, beautiful thing has happened. Love. Has happened.
Really?
It's blossomed?
It has blossomed. It's in full bloom.
Oh.
Gabe Kapler loves Hector Neris. He loves him.
Is Gabe Kapler one of the few managers that wears a wallet chain?
Stop it.
You didn't notice it?
He was what?
He wears like a little chain that goes to his back pocket. He's like a wallet chain.
Okay, hold on. Are you sure it's not a stopwatch?
I'm not sure.
Well, he's in the Fedora gang with Farzetta. I know that.
Oh, okay.
So the chain
Farzetta
wallet.
Fedora gang.
But I don't wear a fedora for style. I wear it for purpose. And I only wear it when I golf.
So
I don't go habit dashing around
town.
So
he's a soul man, too?
Yeah, he might be a soul man. That would make sense,
soul
the chain
man
wallet
tendencies.
For a soul man.
Because I noticed it yesterday, and I'm like, you know, as he was getting ready to go out, I'm like, is that a wallet chain? You know, and it's like Gabe is standing there like, wait, is the chain right?
Right. Solid human being.
In the dugout?
Chain.
In the dugout?
Yeah, when he walks out, you can see like there's like a little wallet chain or something.
You know, forget logic. Yeah, sure, it's a wallet chain.
Okay.
I'm gonna just go. I like it better.
Stopwatch, it's a wallet.
Forget about it.
Yes. Stopwatch?
I think it's either a stopwatch or it's notes. Like, he gives his outfielder notes before the game, so a player comes up, you see them looking at
a
their
lot
notes.
A lot of clubs
so it's either a notes or it's a, I think it might be a stopwatch, but I'll go wallet just for the sake of you.
Chain.
Because I'm not a fan of his today, so.
Oh, Bob. We're going to put the quarter in with Bob in a second here. Yeah, speaking of putting quarters in, you haven't lived until you've heard a 6'8" former offensive lineman, left tackle to be more specific, wrestle with a vending machine.
And, was there wrestling going on today?
Better than a cup of coffee. Trey, what did you want?
I went in and I said, okay, I want some trail mix. You know, I just want a little trail mix. You know, the energy pack.
Sure.
You know, so I put you swipe the card and then, you know, you hit the number and you see the little thing swirl and then the trail mix just sits there. You know, and then, you know, then it released again and then it released two packs. And they're both just sitting there.
Oh, they're teasing you.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know what? Drop! And I hit the glass, and then I'm like, shook it a little bit. And a chocolate Pop-Tart and some M&M's came out. So, you know.
Two for a dollar.
No trail mix.
Well, it already took my money for my trail mix anyway, so, you know, I consider it even.
All right.
Like every time that happened, and I've worked with some former football players, but every time that happened, and work with a few football players, but every time that happens, I feel like saying to the vending machine, oh, you picked the wrong guy. you picked the wrong guy, vending machine.
I think our buddy Hugh was the first one that taught me like the art of the maul it up and down and just rock it and it'll rain.
Yeah, I was a shake guy. I would try to shake it.
Hugh was more like the punch and lift. I was like, it's good technique. Yeah,
And I was like, where was this when I was in high school? Where was this when I was in high school? Right before I had to get on the bus to go to a game or something. And
I need that cherry coke.
Our friend Bob Cooney over there. Bob, you were a short guy.
He's angry today.
I'm going to try to calm him.
Yeah,
now.
I was going
to
say, you would think the shore would calm him.
But Bob, you a short guy? You're from the country of South Jersey, right?
I am from that country,
okay,
yes.
So when you get your passport, if you're not from there, right. You go over there. Were you going down the shore all the time?
Love the shore.
Were you a shore guy growing up? I mean, you're a Florida guy.
Yeah, so I go to the beach.
You go to the beach.
Yeah.
What is that?
Down in Baltimore, they go to the ocean.
Down the ocean, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, swear to God, yeah.
Ocean.
Yeah, they go down the ocean.
They go down the ocean.
Oh, it's so weird.
Yeah.
I thought shore was weird. Ocean's weirder.
Yeah, ocean is really weird.
We were talking about accents.
Yeah.
We still got to get Mike Kern on the show to do his Philly accent and read a romance novel.
Yes.
But the Baltimore accent, or like the Maryland accent, is... It's an odd thing because it's almost
mustard
Delco.
And cake. All the haters will say it's fake.
And also, crab cakes and football, baby. But like, it's a lot.
It's kind of southern. Like
yeah, it's southern
like
light.
Faux southern. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
I call it southern light.
Yeah, yeah.
So like
right.
My cousins that are from down there, they'll be like, call me on my phone. We'll go down the ocean. And I'm like, what?
Right after change all.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. All change. I'm like, what the hell is that?
Stop the language.
I don't know what they speak. But Bobby came up with this. There are certain pet peeves you might have.
Mm-hmm.
And with the ocean going, this is a big ocean weekend. It's a big down the shore weekend. Right. So there are, everyone I believe has their pet peeves about the ocean. About I'm calling it the ocean. About going down the shore. This is a big down the shore weekend. So, Bob, do you have some pet peeves? I want to go over because I'm sure you do.
I do.
Everybody, I've only been the beach. I've only been down the shore maybe 20 times in my life, which is like, I know it pales in comparison to people that go every year, almost every weekend, and whatever. We just weren't big beach people growing up. Whatever.
Yeah, I didn't do it growing up. I didn't do it until I was in my 20s.
Oh, because you love your children. Good for you. Oh, in your 20s? Oh, never mind.
Well, late teens, 20s. Yeah.
Oh, so no, you already had your four
my
kids.
My parents never took us anywhere.
Oh.
Yeah, so no, I started going there like out of high school and stuff like that.
So, Trey, I want to get your pet peeves when it comes to the beach as well, in your case. And when it comes to Jamie and I going down the shore, or Bob down the shore, we'll talk about a little pet peeve action right there. I'll say this, LeBron James, you bastard, stay away from Jimmy Butler. We'll tell you what that means coming up. And we'll let you hear what Gabe Kapler had to say about his closer, at least yesterday, Hector Neris, coming up on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Trey, have you ever attempted... Coming up, we'll let you hear Gabe Kapler in a second here talk about his boy, Hector Neris, the man he loves. Did you ever have a beer chugging competition with Donovan McNabb?
Nah.
How about AJ Feely?
No.
How about Coy Detmer?
No.
Well, you're smart in the Coy Detmer one because he whooped your ass. Nah, my boy Coy.
We never got into the beer chugging thing. I'm not really a beer guy.
Well, that I've noticed about you.
Yeah.
You just like to, you like the vodka,
yeah,
Clarka,
tequila, yeah, unless it's Michelob
Ultra.
Yeah,
you and Jamie throw them
Ultras
down, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a good intel that Tom Brady, very phenomenal beer chugger.
Well, he was on, it wasn't Fallon, it was one of the late night shows where they brought out a beer, said, oh, you're a competitive guy, and he's like, yeah. He's like, well, let's see how fast you can chug the beer. This was recently, a couple months ago.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
I heard from somebody on the team that works, somewhat locally. Also, Peyton can chug a beer.
I've heard that as well.
Not surprised by that one.
Yeah. Do you think Carson can chug a beer?
No.
Yeah, 610-632.
Would you give him a contract extension if you can't chug a beer, folks?
That's, I can see McNabb like housing a Shirley Temple, like funneling a Shirley Temple. Right?
Why you gotta be like that?
I mean, doesn't that seem like it would fit, though?
No, I'm thinking Fire could be a chugger.
Yeah?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
You would know more than us.
I don't know.
What we used to say about Five? He got a little beefy.
He
got beefy.
We do know he likes to partake.
Wait, that's right.
There's been some incidents. I'm not being mean. I mean, get out of here.
Bobby can confirm reports. I taking jazz at my quarterback, Bobby.
I'm not a quarterback.
Bobby, come on, Bobby. Let's clean it up, Bobby. But you look at a guy like McNabb, I'd like to see him chug a beer with the fella. Because something happened in Milwaukee last night for the NBA playoffs. A lot of things actually happened in Milwaukee last night for the NBA playoffs, including Kawhi Leonard. Who had another stellar post-game report with the court reporter. I forget her name.
It cracked me up.
It was stellar. I like how he said, he answered, Kawhi has a system. He answers the question in like the most obvious
literal way possible.
Yes. And then shifts into cliche. Shifts into media speak. And then the interview's over. And I've never seen Kawhi Leonard more happy in his life than, okay, maybe when he laughed at his introductory press conference as a Raptor. But I've never seen him more happy in his life when they only had that one question to ask. Was it the end of game one, was it, against the Sixers?
Uh-huh.
The only time to ask one question. And she's like, oh, okay, and thank you. And he goes, that's it.
Yeah, cool. That's hilarious.
Cool.
He's like, okay.
And then he just walked out. So we'll get to that. There was something that happened in Milwaukee last night that involved a quarterback and an offensive lineman. And by the way they build this quarterback, they lower third of him, they described what he did for a living. It wasn't just quarterback.
It was great.
It was pretty phenomenal. So we'll get to that in a second. And to confirm your report, Jamie, yes, Tom Brady, I've heard through the grapevine.
Yes.
Just is incredible. Incredibly competitive man, even when it comes to chugging beer against offensive linemen.
Yeah, I heard it's good.
So we'll jump to that. But right now, Hector Neris did a nice job for the Phillies last night. He helped him get the win. He got a save. His
rock solid human being.
Eighth of the season. Phillies pull off the 9-7 win. And like I said, they bookend their four game series with the Cubs with a couple of wins. They open with a win, they close with a win, and a couple of not so good ones in between. But nonetheless, Hector Neris came in and got the 4-out save for the Phillies. He did allow a run, was earned, unfortunately, on 2 hits. He also struck out 2. He walked 1. Certainly didn't make it easy for himself, but nonetheless, he earned his 8th save of the year. A guy that has bounced around a little bit in the Phillies bullpen. Is he the closer? Is he not? Same thing that happened last year with the Phils. I remember he tried to reassert himself during a series against the Orioles in Baltimore, and things started to work out a little bit for Hector Neris. So here's the deal. Gabe Kapler gets asked about Neris after the game. And you tell me if you have ever heard a manager, a coach, whatever, gush about a player more so than Gabe Kapler on Hector Neris right now.
I certainly like happy for Hector. You know, he had the guts performance possible out there. That lineup is never ending. And it's every guy hit the ball out of the ballpark. And this, the way it went today, kind of thought like at any point could be more home runs. And so I think my initial thought when that ball landed in McCutchen's glove was good for Hector. Like, good for such a dependable, rock solid human being and stud. And so awesome to see that happen for him.
You Relationship goals.
Stud.
Have your partner speak about you the way Gabe speaks about his players.
Rock solid human being.
Gabe loves his guys.
He really...
Kicking ass and taking names.
I'm telling you, like, I think the first reaction, because we're all, you know, we're East Coast guys, right? Especially, you know, the three, Jamie, me, Bob, we're Northeast Corridor guys. We're known for speaking our mind, honesty, and thinking everybody else is full of crap, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, as a guy from Florida, Trey, if you have that tendency
as
well.
I've been up here long enough.
You've been, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, your tendency with Gabe is to be like, no, dude, knock it off, you fraud. But this guy really means it.
I'm telling you, man, Gabe seems like the type of person that goes to CVS or something and buys blank cards.
Just to have them on hand?
Just to have them on hand.
Yeah.
But the cards don't have words in them.
Right, totally.
He writes his own message.
No one can convey my love like I can convey my love.
Exactly.
Yeah. I get you. Yeah.
That's good, Trey. I like that.
Yeah, he gets blank cards.
He started as one of those guys that underlines the big words. And on the cards, and he's like, no, I need my words.
Yeah, yeah. So he just buys just empty cards, and bam.
That's just a player, Trey. Would you, a guy like that, now, obviously Andy Reid was always protecting his players, it was always on him, it was his responsibility, whatever. But a guy like that, like Gabe Kapler, do you want your leader, your coach, whatever, talking about your players like that? Or are you thinking, well, all right, you can back it off a bit.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess as a player, I mean... You would love that. You know, as a player, man, he really feels that way for me? My God. I'll give you... If you need my blood, I will give it to you, man.
Very nice. Very nice.
You know, because, I mean, this guy, he loves you.
Mm.
I love you! I mean, Gabe really loves his players.
Are people past... And this is a question I have for everybody. Are people past trying to figure out whether or not Gabe Kapler is disingenuous or not? Because I started out at the disingenuous, right? Last year, very disingenuous. I thought. That's just the vibe I got. I'm not saying that he was. And then I met him and talked to him, whatever. And I was like, oh, you know, nice guy, whatever. And then I got to interview him, and you know what, nice guy. Whatever. The more I know him, I feel like I know, obviously, the more I know him, I feel like I identify him as a guy who is completely genuine in how he acts.
Yeah, I think this is the real Gabe.
You want to think he's too good to be true? But I think he is a guy who's 100% genuine.
Bob almost just threw up right there when you said that.
Oh, Bob. What's the issue,
Bob?
He said
too good to be true, and he went, oh.
Yeah.
I really did.
Well,
like dry heaves.
Yeah,
what was that?
I saw that.
It's so weird.
Why is
it?
I know.
You're a baseball manager.
But
stop.
To us,
first of all,
weird.
Stop trying to manage so much. Just let the game play out inside.
Guys are dripping with sweat.
And like, the stuff that he says, what is he talking about?
Now, hold on. About the game yesterday. Why do you think he overmanaged yesterday?
I thought taking Nola out after 5 1/3 was ridiculous. He let up a single. He got an out. Now all of a sudden he's going lefty lefty.
Mm-hmm.
5 1/3 innings and you're up 8-3.
Okay,
stop. Like stop. You're overmanaging there. Stop. Okay, your bullpen, it's been questionable. I just feel the way he's thinking. Oh, let's see. My bullpen's been questioned. So let me give them some extra play today so that we can, you know, work things out here. I think it was totally in his mind. I got to get Neshek out there. We have to put this behind us. I really do. I think he thinks ahead of what he should do instead of reacting and letting the game play out at times. And I think it hurts him.
So the way you're portraying it though is vanity.
Oh, yeah, no question about it.
Really?
Yeah, come on.
You do think... But that's disingenuous.
No question.
It's one of the seven sins, isn't it?
Do you really think...
Vanity! Yes, absolutely.
He came out yesterday and his thing... Like, 45 minutes after the game, or not even, 20 minutes after the game, he's coming out and going, wow, gutsy. Oh, so happy for him. Stop it. It's one of 162, and he has these bubbly feelings about Hector Neris because he got... He gave up a run and got four outs?
Yeah, and a save.
It was an okay performance.
Yeah, did he stop the bleeding eventually?
Yeah, he's a tourniquet. I mean, stop. I mean, like, what?
But
what are you saying?
I haven't got the overmanaged vibe from Gabe this year.
Not this year as a whole, no.
Yeah, but
no, not
again,
at all.
Look, it's only his second year as a manager. His first year with as a manager and this year have been, I feel, two totally different styles.
But no question.
I do feel as if he is a genuine guy. Like, anyone that's that over the top. Like, we were talking about Midwesterners, right? We were talking about people from Wisconsin or Minnesota, whatever. And we were talking about that, and it's like, oh, can I trust this person? Because they're so nice. Like, that's like the vibe, right? With Gabe being a Cali guy, I think he's real. I think how he talks about his guys is a real thing.
He's an emotional intelligence warrior. I think he finds himself saying things, genuine things, and then it's like, oh, wow, if I said I loved him for striking out on four pitches instead of three, I have to really say I love Hector Neris for getting a save and four outs where he looked mediocre at best in a game that I almost blew when we were up 7-0.
Mm.
I do. I think a lot of it's thought out.
We love it.
Nobody
love it.
Can just
incredible.
Talk like this off the top of their head.
If this is how he's wired, though.
Oh, God.
That's how Gabe
well, then
is
he
wired.
Needs rewiring.
He said it roots back to a conversation he had with his grandmother when he was young. And she wanted him to always be positive about life. And he can control his own message and day and all that stuff. It's very deep-rooted in him, Bob.
Yeah, you cannot go against Granny.
Yeah, no. Man. Grandma said, be positive.
Grandma needed rewiring, too.
Come on.
What,
wow!
Bobby?
Yeah. How do you attack your grandma?
Oh, my God. Man. Somebody needs a short weekend. His name's Bob Cooney. Taking shots at
Somebody needs some Johnson's popcorn. He's getting a little cranky.
Watch out, Mom. Bob Cooney's coming at you.
Fudge Kitchen, we need some stats.
What's the matter with you, man?
Manco and Manco's, where are you?
Bobby.
Yeah, right?
Come on.
I think
the man really cares. He really loves his players. He is the type of man that if you were ended up sick or something and you couldn't come into work, he would send you flowers and an edible arrangement.
And do all your work for you.
Yes.
Send you both.
Wow. And probably write his own card.
And write,
damn right.
No, definitely writing it. Writing his own card, definitely. You know, it's nice.
All right, it's not a bash Gabe day or whatever. Like, he annoyed me yesterday.
Oh, it's about to be, Bob. Now I know this machine's cranking out a hit.
He annoyed me yesterday. But Trey, former player, guy comes out and speaks the way he speaks. Your coach, your manager, whatever it may be. Like, are you guys sitting in the locker room laughing your asses off at this guy?
No, I think the players are like, wow.
Love you too?
Yeah, they probably like, hey, man. Once you have somebody speak about you like that, I mean, you may as well go ahead and say, I love you.
All right, hold on. Jamie, can we get this?
You're such a liar.
Can we get just the second half of that cut real quick? Because I just want to set a scene real quick, all right? Are we able to do that, Jamie? Like, I'm not saying right now, but are you able to do that?
Yeah.
In like 2 seconds? So I just want you to picture this scene, all right?
Uh-huh.
You just got the eighth save.
Yes.
You're Hector Neris.
Uh-huh.
Put yourself in the baseball clubhouse.
Yeah.
All right, because it's not a locker room. It's clubhouse, baby.
Clubhouse, yeah.
So you have your shirt off.
Yeah.
And you're getting ready to get on the bus, right? You got to go to the airport.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're bussing from Chicago to
They did
Milwaukee.
Bus. Yes, they did.
Oh, look
they
at
took
that.
The 90-minute bus trip, yes.
Yeah, look at those guys, right?
Yeah.
So you're getting ready to get on the bus.
Throw in the natural.
Yeah. So you're getting ready. Maybe basketball. It's a faster comp.
That is a good one.
So you get on the bus. You're about to go up to the little Milwaukee, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
you say it that way because of Alice Cooper and Wayne's World, I assume?
You're damn right I do.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
So you're about to get on the bus, mm-hmm. and you just feel a presence behind you. You don't know who it is yet.
Mm-hmm.
You just feel a presence.
Guys are dripping with sweat.
Guy taps you on the shoulder.
Yeah.
You turn around. It's Gabe.
Yeah.
Gabe says this.
And so I think my initial thought when that ball landed in McCutcheon's glove was good for Hector. Like, good for such a dependable, rock-solid human being and stud. And so, so awesome to see that happen for him.
It's Bob
rock
Cooney.
Solid human being.
Walks away from his microphone. Trey, and he says that to you. What's your response?
Gabe, I love you. Just want you to know that I will give you everything that I have.
It's a beautiful moment in the clubhouse.
I will give you everything that I have out there on that field.
I will run through a wall for you.
I will run through a wall for you.
Such a dependable, rock-solid human being.
You can call me at any time.
Stud. And so awesome to see that happen for him.
It's so absurd.
Such an ass.
We're talking about a baseball player.
Managing.
He loves his players.
It's managing 2019, man.
Hey, man, they gonna just love on each other.
Yeah. You know,
he smells wonderful.
Yeah.
His jokes are the best.
He didn't say anything about the way he smells.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing. So you're all coming to my side, whether you realize it or not.
No,
you're
how
coming
to my, we think it's
you're
genuine.
Making
Did
fun
you
of
see
him.
His clever muscles?
They're really popping these days. Hector, you look great.
Then he was saying something about one of the players saying, oh, he looks jacked.
Yeah. Who was that?
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was, but yeah, he was like, I can't remember.
It doesn't make me want to run through a wall for him.
I think I don't
he
know,
just
man,
makes me think that he wants to tiptoe through the tulips right together.
And you have when you have a manager or a coach that loves on you like that, man, you would give him everything that you have.
Was it Herrera and his toenails as well?
I don't know.
Because he came in great shape. He came in to spring training in great shape.
I think he was talking about
it. Like, with the shirt off, man, you just look so amazing.
Yeah.
What if it was his grandmother that was the first person to tell Gabe or give him the phrase, Gabe, honey, you're presenting beautifully today. You're doing great. Like, what if that's an homage to Mum-Mum?
Mum-Mum?
Maybe.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. Would Gabe be a Mum-Mum guy?
Not sure.
You know what Gabe is? Gabe would be a
Grammy.
He'd be a grandmother guy. He would official title.
That's
he would go official. Oh no, he's a nickname guy.
I can see him Gammy.
Gammy.
Yeah.
No, he's probably like G-Mom.
Yeah.
G-Mom.
Yeah, because he's a
Mom squared.
He's a nickname fella. 610-632-0975. You're picking up some support, by the way, Bob, on social media. The Pierogi Kitchen just tweeted us saying, we're with Bob. Rock solid points.
Rock solid.
You know who else agrees with Bob?
Who's that?
Mike and KOP, I think.
Oh, Bob! Bob might have been out-negatived Mike and KOP with,
well,
you know.
I don't know what's wrong with me. I really don't want to be
You're
negative.
The yin to Gabe's yang. Yeah, like, he's so positive.
Yeah.
You're,
what?
Yin. It's yin. It's not yin. Yin.
Which
okay,
one?
I thought you said yang.
It's one or the other.
I feel like picking on people today.
Yeah.
Bob's in a corner. He's going to fight his way out.
Bob's trashing grandmas today. He hates Gabe's grandmother now or something.
It's just
oh, man. Next, you're going to say her apple pie sucks.
Jeez. Oh, my God.
Relax,
Bob. We know Bob's thinking it, folks.
You're going to regret these things.
610-632-0975. We got Jason in Southwest Philly. He wants to talk some Phillies. Talk to him coming up in a few. In case you didn't know what happened last night in Milwaukee during the Bucks Raptors game. Raptors won on the road. So I don't know if you know this. The series has officially started, Trey.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to get to everything that happened at that game last night, including a little chug fest that even exceeded Milwaukee last night. It even went out of bounds in Milwaukee. Top of the hour, 7 o'clock, we're going to get into that SOB, that jerk, that LeBron James, who wants to play the role of the stealer. He wants to play the role of the stealing players. I'm just I can't even find the words. I just hate LeBron James right now. I knew it was only a matter of time before the story came out, and now it's out. We'll get to it at the top of the hour. Time of the Fanatic, 640.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Farzetta and Trey in the Morning.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the Morning, 610-632-0975. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan. Bob's on the updates today.
Yeah, I heard.
Sammy's still enjoying a nice little vacay. Good for her down Florida. 610-632-0975. Coming up in a second, we're going to let you hear a little beer chugging story, which is always fun. Jason, Southwest Philly, you're on 975, The Fanatic. What's up, buddy?
Mark, Trey, Bob, Jamie, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
All right.
Hey, just to touch on Gabe and why I believe he's like overly rambunctious with his statements about his players. And I think that spawns back to I played baseball all my life and now I'm coaching it. And in baseball, it's weird. I believe baseball to be the most mentally tough sport because you're inside your own head most of the time, especially with all the wait times. And if you notice, all throughout different levels of baseball, coaches are always building those players up for whatever reason. And I believe Gabe does what he does because he's such a young player for one, or a young manager for one, and he's the over-the-top positive person. So some of the things he says, he doesn't care if we believe it. He wants the players to believe it. So it's not really for us. And, yeah, we're going to laugh about it. But I think he's just trying to encourage their psyche for the most part, if that makes sense.
It does. And I hear you, Chase. You're a coach, and you have to do, I don't know what level you are, but at your level, you probably have to do that to kids. These guys are adults. They don't need to hear this crap.
Not everybody needs a little love, Bob.
No, I don't need any more love.
They're major league players, Bob, and I agree. But if you notice, even the best all-stars, the best players in the league go through slumps. And I'm not going to break it down percentage-wise because I wouldn't know how to do it, but a majority of that is mental. Now, all sports are definitely mentally tough, but I think when it comes to baseball, if you can try to encourage their mental toughness or just improve their confidence, even though they're major league players, I think it kind of helps stop those slumps from occurring more often than not.
Yeah, I think, Jason, thanks for the call, man. I think it definitely allows
emotional intelligence
to not grip the bat too tight. You know, like they say in hockey, you're gripping the stick too tight or whatever. It allows them to stay loose. It makes them feel as if their manager isn't breathing down their throat the whole time. And Bob, you and I were talking about this their neck the whole time. Bob, you and I were talking about this at the break. I don't think he's like that with his players. Like one-on-one.
Yeah.
I think I'll say this, and I don't mean to totally contradict what I just said in the last segment, which is I do believe the man is genuine, but I also believe the man knows his audience. And I think he knows when he's talking to the media, he's really talking to fans, he's talking to us, right? The people that aren't even just standing in front of him. But everyone, fans, other media members, radio shows, he knows that's what he's talking to. He knows the audience. When he's talking to another player, he knows his audience. He knows how to carry himself, or he knows what to say in that situation when he's one-on-one with a player.
All right, so let me ask you, when he says stuff like he said yesterday about Neris, his audience is...
us.
Is
the,
it
the
Neris
media
also?
And fans.
Well, yeah, what good does that do?
And also the player, I think.
That's my question.
But do you think Hector Neris is reading the paper? Do you think he's reading what's online?
I think he's gotten so outrageous in what he says that, yes, the players are having fun listening to what he has to say.
And I still don't doubt for a second that
that's my point also. Like you make a great point, Mark. He knows his audience. So my question is, all right, you say the audience is us. What good does that do? I don't know what it means.
The same good it does, but in a much grander scale as I need to do a better job. It's my responsibility. It's the same thing.
All right.
It's the same. Instead of...
But that's not outrageous.
No. It's not...
The stuff he says is outrageous.
Yeah, but in other words, you know I'm just going to say everything that's going to praise you. Like the worst... Yeah. Like we made fun of it a couple of weeks ago. I forget what it was. I think it was Nick Pivetta's last start at the major league level. And he was like, Nick knows he needs to be better. And I was like, whoa, settle down.
I mean, he's more or less said the center fielder position is open for competition.
Whoa, Gabe, throwing players under the bus.
So that's him throwing under the bus. He's saying, when you translate it, Odubel hasn't been good enough.
That's I think, how a lot of people are viewing it.
Yeah.
Now, the good news is that the Phillies won yesterday. And like I said, they opened the series with a win. They closed with a win. It's great to see him win yesterday. Thank goodness for that. It makes me feel a lot better going into Milwaukee. But there is one thing we have to get into from yesterday. Because last night was game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
They go to the tied series 2-2. Each team won at home. They swept their home first two games, right? So then the Raptors go into Milwaukee and they win. And Kawhi Leonard had one hell of a game. Van Vliet had an incredible game. Hit 7 threes, was it, in the game? Just had to make it rain down. He was the guy that Jamie and I were talking about in the Sixers series before the series started as, oh, it's Van Vliet. Yeah. Yeah, he's going to do something. It's going to make us look stupid. And fortunately, we dodged the bullet for the most part with him. But in this series, he stepped up big in game 5 last night, and they get the win in Milwaukee. Raptors now up 3-2. Now the crowd that was saying, oh, we should have been able to beat the Raptors, and we'd be doing the same thing. those Raptors are looking pretty good. They're justifying their position as the series goes
we
on.
We could have beat the Raptors.
Should have beat the Raptors.
We should have beat the Raptors.
Should have beat the Raptors. Yeah. Healthy Joel Embiid, but, you know, we saw how it worked out, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, I'm not even talking yet about the Kawhi Leonard post-game piece.
Okay.
Or another guy who's involved with the Raptors, his post-game piece. We'll talk about that later.
Uh-huh.
But I'm talking about a chug fest.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you guys.
Big night for offensive linemen.
Hey, man. Bringing sexy back.
I cannot chug a beer.
Huh?
I have not been blessed with that wonderful gift.
I'm not great at it, but if the situation like who we're about to get into presented itself, I would
hold on.
Yeah, I would power through and make it happen.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be happy about it. Like, I do shotguns and stuff like that.
Oh, that, I can shotgun a beer. I mean, come on, I'm an American male. Let's not get crazy. I don't want to insult my country.
Yeah, like, I can do all that. If the pressure's on, I'll step it up, but, you know, I don't love it.
Yeah. It's not like, hey, I'm going to go chug a beer.
It's like, exactly. All right.
But if the challenge presents itself,
then
I mean,
step up.
I'm not putting my finger up like, hold on, wait.
No.
So last night, during game 5 in Milwaukee, David Bakhtiari, who is a tackle for the Green Bay Packers, he's at the game.
Yeah.
He chugs a beer. And then he chugs another beer. Then they put him up on the Jumbotron. I should make that a fan of vision. And then he points up at the screen and he points across the way to his quarterback.
And by the way, real quick, fun fact, did you see who was sitting next to the quarterback?
Was it the owner's daughter?
Yes, and she was wearing a Pusha T rap t-shirt. And the backstory there, I got to give her a little credit for the troll job.
Okay.
Because Pusha T and Drake had the beef, where Pusha T basically outed Drake for having an illegitimate child that he wasn't supporting.
Yeah, I remember that.
So she took up the troll game. Oh. To a high degree there. Respect.
Also respect, beautiful woman.
Yeah, she's an Instagram like celebrity or whatever. She's a good follower. Mallory Edens, for those that are interested.
I think I'm just going to put Instagram model on my Instagram account.
Mallory Edens, Trey.
Let the record show,
nice
Trey.
Lady.
Let the record show Trey is making a record. Trey is writing down the name.
I write down a lot of different things, you know, that just come out and say, you know.
But she was sitting next to Mr. Quarterback.
Yeah, right.
I think she cringed for him.
Not for nothing, though. I had to Google whether or not Aaron Rodgers and Danica Patrick were still a thing.
I think they are.
Oh, yeah.
And they are.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
sources confirmed Google.
But she was not there.
She was not there, correct. So okay. He's there sitting around
it's
with
Indy
the
500 weekend. Has she changed to IndyCar? Am I making that up? I don't know.
I think she bounced around a bit.
Okay.
Whoa. You're still talking.
All right, Bob. All right. Bob is showing us how to chug his drink. Whatever. So here you go. So David Bakhtiari stands up and then points across the way to Aaron Rodgers. After David Bakhtiari downs the two beers, he points across to Aaron Rodgers and he goes, "Now you're next." Well, at least that's how I assume an offensive lineman.
That's good.
That's pretty good.
So Aaron Rodgers is like, okay, yeah, hold on a second. And then he goes down. That's how he talks. And he goes and he grabs his beer and he's like,
yeah,
like get the guy
puts up like, wait a minute,
I'm trying
one more minute.
I'm trying.
His pinky went up.
Yeah, he's like trying to chug the beer, and it was. I was like, oh god, Aaron, stop, please.
And that's how you have a guy sitting behind you tap you like, hey, I want to buy your girlfriend and her friend a drink. Hold on. Here's another drink too for her friend. Yeah. Oh no. Aaron, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm gonna buy your girl a drink in front.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.